The Dawn Recorded Lecture Service is pleased to present a session from the 1998 General Convention held at the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown, Pennsylvania. The speaker for this session is Brother Len Grice, whose subject is Blue, Purple, Scarlet.
I was really fascinated this morning listening to Brother Mike in his the history of this area. I guess I love history, and since I moved to Philadelphia, where American history certainly is fascinating, just remembering some of the things that happened and took place, especially early in the truth movement, is kind of fascinating. You know, there's a, if you go to Washington, D.C., well, you may not be able to get in now in case you haven't heard, there was a shooting at the Capitol yesterday. So I don't know what's going to happen with visits there. But if you go to Washington, D.C., and you go over to the Library of Congress, I think it is. Those of you from Washington, D.C. can help me out. They have a sign over the Library of Congress. And the sign says, "The past is prologue." And asked someone what that meant one time, a taxi driver. And what he said is, it means you ain't seen nothing yet. Brethren, that's the way it is with us. Isn't it wonderful, the past and the history we have? And being here this week especially, being able to be part of that. But you know, we really haven't seen nothing yet. What scripture comes to mind with that? Eye hath not seen nor ear heard. Can you finish it? Right. That's our inheritance, brethren. So let us not forget that as we look at the history. That really is prologue to what lies before us. Before I start, I have to walk over here and hang up a couple things on the sign over here. So just give me a minute, just so you won't forget what the title of this discourse is. You know, colors play an important part of our life. How many of you know what color your spouse's or children's eyes are? Most of you know that. You know, colors are important, and we use colors in language a lot of different ways. You know, if I'm talking about someone and saying, "Oh, he's green," you know immediately what I mean, don't you? Ah, he's immature, you know, he's inexperienced, you know, really doesn't know very much. And if I say, "Oh, you know, Brother Carl got upset with me. He was red." You know what that means. Not that Brother Carl ever gets upset, but you know what that means. He was very angry. And so that's one. And I would not use this of anyone normally, but we'd say, you know, he's yellow. What does that mean? Cowardly. So colors convey things, concepts to us that are they're easily remembered. And you know, the Lord uses that for us. And what I want to look at today is one lesson that we get in colors. Blue, purple, and scarlet. Colors in the tabernacle. Now, I want you to listen. I don't want you to look at your Bible as I read these scriptures. But I want you to get a feel for the importance of blue, scarlet, and purple in these scriptures that I'll read. Exodus 26:1, the outside curtains. "Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of twine linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet." Exodus 26:31, the inside veil. "And thou shalt make a veil of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen." Exodus 26:36, the door that hung at the beginning of the entrance of the tabernacle. "Thou shalt make an hanging for the door of the tent of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen." the gate on the outside, Exodus 27:16. And for the gate of the court shall be a hanging of 20 cubits of blue and purple and scarlet. And as we look at the priest, the high priest himself, Aaron, the ephod, remember that he wore his garment on the outside. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and fine twine linen. Exodus 28:8. The girdle that wrapped, that tied that ephod around. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same according to the work of gold, of blue, of purple, and scarlet. The breastplate, remember that folded over and held that the stones that were represented Israel. He shall make the breastplate of cunning work like the work of the ephod, gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet. And finally, remember the pomegranates that hung at the bottom of the robe. Exodus 39:24. And they shall be made upon the hems of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen. All to suggest even that Aaron was to be part of that tabernacle. But notice, every time, blue, purple, and scarlet, the same order. 24 times in Exodus, that same order occurs over and over again. Blue and purple and scarlet. Now, when we study the tabernacle, I want to mention up front what Brother Russell suggests these mean. The blue representing faithfulness, the purple royalty, scarlet being ransom, and death. And maybe, you know, we know that, but we don't appreciate why this particular combination of colors was put together. And that's really what I want to focus on. Why did God choose this particular combination of colors? Blue and purple and scarlet. And is there a significance in the fact that they're always mentioned in the same order? So that's the conclusions we'll try to get to as we explore some of the elements. You know, generally, colors are mentioned frequently in the Bible, but in general, if you would examine the law and the Hebrew practices, you find that there wasn't a lot of adornment that took place. You know, body piercing wasn't something that they did in the days of Israel. Generally, you know, there were laws against mutilating the body and sorts of things like that, and tattoos and that sort of thing were condemned under the law. But color designations often were an important part. White we find throughout the scriptures, don't we? White as a symbol of joy or glory, and the beauty and glory of garments especially mentioned as white. And black we oftentimes have associated with a symbol of judgment or a symbol of darkness or decay even. And we could go through a whole long list. A lot of them are mentioned, but you get the point that, you know, colors, while infrequently play a role, they are very important when they are mentioned. And white, of course, in the New Testament used to convey a lot of the ideas about Jesus, and remember the white robes, the shining garments, the glory that accompanied him. And even if we look historically, the colors that are mentioned here, and it's not our purpose to give a history lesson on colors, but if we look at, for example, you know, purple played such an important part and a role in the Phoenicians, the Cretes, all those, and in Canaan produced that dye, and it was sold. It was a very important part, and the shades were produced for all kinds of clothing. But the lesson that we want to convey, and the lesson we want to take from this, is that in the understanding, when God laid out the rules for the tabernacle and the ordinances, there was a significant lesson that he hoped would be learned, probably not by the Israelites, because we know they didn't understand really the typical significance, but certainly by us looking at it, what it was that was trying to be conveyed in the dominance of these colors. Remember, the tabernacle was the first opportunity that God really had to teach. You know, they had gone through the wilderness and they had gone through elements of God's leading them. But until really they had the law that was given at Sinai, it was really the first time God's really revealing himself to his children, the children of Israel, and trying to teach them some lessons about their future and indeed about the whole restoration process and the future of man. So we can get caught up in the complex lessons of the tabernacle. And it's a fascinating study. But the simplicity, as we break down some of the pictures, can give us some immediate impact in understanding how God conveys to us the lessons of redemption and the lessons of our role and our place in His plan over and over. For example, you know, one of the simple ways we can break it down is we look at how the Hebrew children carried the tabernacle. Remember, the tribe of Levi was divided into three families. And three simple lessons we can take from that. You know, the tribe of the family of Merari, who was camped on the north side, carried all the framework and the sockets. Gershon on the west side carries all the curtains, the hangings, the inside part. And Kohath on the south carries all the inner vessels of the tabernacle. You know, from that simple fact, we can build a lesson of the way God works, foundation principles, the outside framework that we build and understand when we first approach God, the principles that we all can see and understand, the basic tenets of our faith that God has to convey to us before anything else. Then within that storehouse, if we think about the inside curtains and veils like it was in the tabernacle, you know, as we enter that storehouse, as we enter inside, we see the beauty and the brilliance of some of God's plans and insight into the deeper things. What the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 6 calls, you know, going beyond the milk into the meat of the word. And then finally, as we look at that lesson, even as Kohath carried all the vessels of the tabernacle representing the intricacy of God's plan and the beauty and glory of the divine. What lessons do we go inside the inner parts to see those tabernacle vessels spread out before us? So the importance of the simplicity of the lessons we can take from the complexity of the lesson. And probably no more simple lesson we can find as we start this investigation and really try to understand what is it He's conveying to us by these particular colors. We find in the book of Hebrews, 10th chapter, verses 19 to 22. And this really gives us the importance of why we should look for the lessons, especially from the arrangement God provided to the Israelites through the picture of the tabernacle. I guess I get fascinated by these kind of things because of the history, because I like history so much, and some of these things, the historical importance this played, but the lack of understanding that was there at the time, is fascinating enough for us to investigate what it is we should take away from it. Hebrews 10:19-22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. There lays out the simple lesson of what we're to take away from this arrangement. The death of Jesus opened the way for us. It opened the way into what was considered at the time that picture, the holiest of holies, the heavenlies. And that's really our ultimate goal, isn't it, brethren? Our hope of the church should be to enter and to follow after Him into that way. It was the very question that all the apostles asked Him constantly. Lord, you know, they always wanted to know if He was going away, would they be able to come with Him? And He reassured them. And in this very passage, we have the concept that through the cleansing, through the purifying, the obedience to the promises of God and the precepts of the Word, yes, we would become fit to enter after Him. And that's really exemplified by, again, one basic material that we found in these scriptures over and over, the fine linen that's always talked about, where the colors were laid over the top. In that Exodus 26:31 that we read, make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. Linen underneath the solid performance or the solid base for all of this. Seeing that veil first, we're taken with the brilliance of the colors, but underneath it all was the basic linen. And we look at Revelation 19:8. We understand what that linen was to represent. Revelation 19:8 talks about that linen being the righteousness of the saints. The church is made ready to be righteous through the merit of Jesus. The whole picture of the earthly struggles that the church goes through in following after the Lord was the whole purpose was to make her ready to follow after Jesus into that heavenly way, into that heavenly. So that fine linen, if we think about it, representing that concept of the righteous standing before God. Now, how do we get there? How does one progress into that picture? The colors we think that are represented here, the blue, the purple, and scarlet, are meant to convey for us that process, the means for us to get to that point where we can stand with Jesus in the heavenlies. To be like Him, and mentioned in John 1:4, in Him was life, the life was the light of man, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. To be like Jesus, brethren, that's our final goal. No matter what it is we study, no matter what it is we do, that's to be our final goal. White linen, the picture of that purity that we have conveyed in Revelation, we have it conveyed in the garments of the heavenly visitors. The colors were the representation of how that purity is derived. So with that background, let's look specifically at these three colors and see why is it that God chose these three and the lesson that we are to get from their representation. The blue is a word called in the Hebrew tekeleth, which is the color from the cerulean mussel. It was a shellfish that the Hebrew children found as they journeyed through the wilderness along the water, still very common in the Mediterranean. And it was really a dye. When they crushed that shell, it got a dye of really deep purplish blue. And I apologize, that blue is not the right color. You think of a deeper blue, but the whole idea is that blue that was produced, again, produced from the taking away of life. But that blue is always the preeminent color that's associated in the tabernacle with gold. Look at Exodus 36:11-13. He made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the selvage to the coupling. Likewise, he made in the uttermost side of another curtain, coupling the second. 50 loops. They went on, made the loops in the curtain. And he took, then it says, 50 tacks of gold and coupled the curtains one another with the gold, and it became a tabernacle. The gold was inserted into the blue loops. Gold and blue were always associated together in the tabernacle. We can read it over and over again in Exodus 39:30-31. The mitre that was on the priest's hat, we read that, how was the gold of that mitre fastened? It was in contact with blue that was connected and held it on his head. The lace of blue that went around secured the mitre, which was overlaid with gold. Exodus 39:20-21, we have the same thing with the breastplate, where the clasps of gold were tied with loops of blue. A lace of blue secured that breastplate on. So over and over again, we have that picture associated with gold. And even in the coverings of the vessels, if you turn to Numbers, the fourth chapter, verses 9, 11, and 12, it starts out, and take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick of light. And again, we had the blue always covering the gold within the vessels that were in there. So blue played a very important part. Why blue? Why was blue chosen as the association to overlay with the gold? I think the key to understanding is that another incident that God had with the children of Israel after He made the covenant with them. Exodus, the 24th chapter, verses 9 and 10. After Moses, remember, they had made the covenant with God, all these things we will do. Moses sprinkled the people, 2 million people. He probably didn't sprinkle them all, but he sprinkled representatively those people with the blood. And they made the covenant, and then it says they went up into the mountain, Exodus 24, 9 and 10. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw a vision of God. How did God portray that vision to them? They saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. God revealed himself to them after the covenant at Sinai, and ratifying the covenant. How did he reveal them to him? Rotherham says, it was like the very heavens for brightness. What color is a sapphire? It's blue, a very much more brilliant blue than what I have hanging here. But the point was that that sapphire was a representation of their vision of God. In fact, if we look at the root word that's mentioned there for sapphire, it's the word that means to speak or declare. Now, if we turn to Psalms 19, we have that infamous scripture that we use a lot. The heavens declare the glory of God. Same root word. In fact, one Hebrew writer says that that should be translated, the heavens sapphire the glory of God. In other words, that color was important and was to convey to them the brilliance of God. That's really what we have described in 1 John 1:5 when it says, you know, that God is light and there was no darkness in him at all. And that blue was chosen, that sapphire, to represent to his earthly constituents that was how he was to be conveyed. And so blue, when we have it suggested that blue was faithfulness, it was a reminder God gave them of his faithfulness to the covenant. And we think that God wanted them to remember that blue was to also be a reminder to them that they were always to be associated with God. Blue represented the faithfulness to the promises in the covenant. And I think that's verified by one other incident that we have recorded in Numbers. Numbers, the 15th chapter. Numbers, the 15th chapter, verses 32 to 41. Now, I'm not going to read all that, but you'll remember this is at a time when Israel was wrestling with the law. And it says they were in the wilderness. They found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And they didn't know what to do. And they put him in a ward because it was not declared what they should do. And God told Moses, thou shalt put him to death, and all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And they did it. And then God spoke to Moses afterwards. In verse 38, he says, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And that fringe, or that shall be a fringe that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord. So here it was, man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. It didn't seem like a big thing, but under the law, he was guilty of death. God told him to stone him. And I, you know, as a sidebar, this is one of the lessons of the law that God tried to convey to them in their whole lives, that the law had no mercy. It was exact, and the punishment was exact. And that was a lesson that they didn't learn even to Jesus' day. And Jesus tried to convey to them that the difference with his was, you know, God was to be merciful. But under the law, there was no mercy granted. So blue, in many ways, as we see here, was to be to them a reminder of their heavenly responsibility and the ability to perform. And above all else, they were to be first a people that remembered the promise of God and that they were belonging to God. And so the thing, when they tied that around the fringe, it was the closest thing to the earth they had. When they were to look down, they remembered that they were his. Well, brethren, we don't look down, but we do look up. We will look up. What color do we see? You go outside in the back of the building, you look up, you see a brilliant blue. God is trying to convey to us, remember first, that blue why did God make the sky that color? One of the things, why did he use that color? It was a reminder of God's faithfulness to us. Maybe as we look up, and you know, if you have nothing else but your thoughts for the day, and you walk out and you look up into the sky, you can remember that blue and the faithfulness and the promises of God. That's what he was trying to convey to them. And so blue was that color. It was closest to the divine, remember. But think about this. If we remember the order of blue, scarlet, and purple, blue would have been the color nearest to the bottom, not to the top. If it was blue, scarlet, and purple, or blue, purple, and scarlet. That's why I put those up there, so I'll remember the order too. But blue, purple, and scarlet. Blue would have been the one underneath. And it was intertwined, but yet blue, I think, was to be the one underneath for a specific purpose that we'll talk about in a few minutes. So to understand it, we need to understand purple first. Purple, again, the purple color produced from the secretion of a snail. Again, a common animal found crushed. The dye was then garnered into color. Who was the most famous seller of purple? Remember in the New Testament? Remember Lydia in Acts? Lydia was a seller of purple. It was a garment that was very precious and a color that was precious. And purple being mentioned second, we think, is significant. If you look at blue and you look at red, they're at the opposite ends of the color spectrum. Purple is really the combination of the two. Purple is a combination of blue and the scarlet or the red. And actually, it's much easier to blend your eyes through from one end to the other as you look at the purple. And what was purple? Easy one. Memory suggested it was royalty. And royalty on earth, purple has always been associated with it. We look at Judges, the 8th chapter, when Joshua came in and conquered the land of Midian. And we're told the Midianite kings in Judges 8:26 says the Midianite kings wore robes of purple, a symbol of royalty. What did they do when they were mocking Jesus? John 19:2 says they put on a robe of purple to mock him. Even in Revelation, when we have the false church described, Revelation 17:4, how are they described? They're arrayed in purple. So purple was always associated with royalty. Now, certainly Jesus' royalty was known in his day, proclaimed King of the Jews, things like that. But I think the idea behind it is royalty was to be something Jesus promised to his followers. Matthew 19:27, a comment he gave to Peter. He answered Peter and said, "Behold, Peter." Then Peter answered and said, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have, therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." In Revelation 3:21, "To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me on my throne. Be thou faithful unto death," Revelation 2:10, "and I will give thee a crown of life." All associated with a future role, that they were to indeed sit on a throne with Jesus and share in that picture. But why is this mentioned as the second color? That's why not the last color? It's the last thing that happens with the church. Well, I think we need to understand the red or the scarlet in order to do that. Scarlet was suggested, and certainly we see, as the color of blood, a symbol of sacrifice to death. It was a bright red produced, how? Again, animal life, crushing of a worm. And Isaiah 1:18, the scripture we talk about, says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall become as wool." The word there gives us the clue to understanding what is scarlet. The word there is the word meaning scarlet worm, the coccus cacti worm, which was crushed and the blood of which then was ground up to make the color scarlet. Now remember, Jesus quoted Psalm 22 on the cross. Remember, time and time again, he brought various pictures from that psalm forward. Psalm 22:6, he said, Psalm 22:6 says, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people." Now, he didn't say that, but that was the Psalm 22 that Jesus had in mind when he was talking about, "Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That worm that's mentioned there is the word for scarlet, the scarlet worm. And Jesus was crushed. His conversation, he was crushed in the shedding of blood for sin. The ransom, the very basis for redemption, which he mentions in Matthew 20, is his whole purpose for coming. That color was the base. Now, Brother Russell suggested in a general way, yes, that scarlet represented the blood of the ransom, but by extension it also could represent death, and that was to be the conveying of that color, scarlet and red. And I think that's verified. We can understand one of the other lessons from the tabernacle. Remember the red heifer. In Numbers 19:6, the priest took cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer, which was the sacrifice that took place afterwards. And remember that heifer, we understand, represents the ancient worthies, what would take place in the future. But the combination of cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet, why those three? I think helps us to understand why scarlet plays an important part in here. Cedar wood and hyssop. Now, it's suggested that cedar represents everlasting life and hyssop, the purging or cleansing experience. But why? Cedar and hyssop are the opposites in the vegetable world. Read 1 Kings 4:33. In the building of the temple, it says, "He spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth out of the wall." These were farthest apart in the vegetable world at that time. Speaking of what's highest and lowest in the world, and brethren, as we think about cedar representing everlasting life, isn't that the highest thing in the world that you can have? What's the greatest thing, gift that you could give to anyone? Everlasting life. The hyssop, saying it represented the purging or cleansing, what's the lowest experience one can have? To be crushed to death. The ancient worthies certainly went through that. The whole lesson of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, tells us how they struggled and were cast out. And that their sacrifice, the fact that they gave themselves in dedication to God, was accepted ahead of the sacrifice of Jesus, not as the call of the church would be, but because of their faith. So this concept of scarlet representing redemption, the ability to really bring together what had transpired, and the colors, so important, and a picture of death, and especially the death of Jesus and the ransom. So there we have the lesson of the three colors. Let's try to tie it together with why these three and why the order that they were put. Two possibilities which I'll suggest to you, and really no conflict in the two possibilities. One focuses on the relationship of Jesus. The other, the picture of us, his footstep followers. The first is that, yes, the order was important. Blue, purple, and scarlet would have meant scarlet was on top, purple was next, blue was at the bottom, and obviously next to the gold in many cases. The progressive picture of our journey, brethren, what's the basis for that journey? The acceptance of the scarlet, the ransom of Jesus, the basis for our whole understanding of the truth and everything that goes with it. Once we understand that, we understand the purple. What is it that Jesus has presented for us? What is it that God has presented for us? An invitation to participate as a fellow member, a way into the heavenlies to be with Jesus as a royal priesthood. Not generally understood by those who examine it. And finally, what comes as a result of that? The blue at the other end. The revealment of God in his true self can't be understood in this world. world doesn't see God today. Brightness can only be seen following the acceptance of Jesus and the giving of and the understanding of our giving our life. Then we can understand the promises and the royalty of God. And that, we think, is suggested by one other picture in the tabernacle in Numbers 4, 7, and 8. The coverings that went over the table of showbread. Very different. Remember we said blue covered everything in the tabernacle, with one exception. Upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue and put thereon the dishes and the spoons and the bowls and covers and a continual bread. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet and cover the same with a covering of badger skins. So one place where scarlet was put in over the blue before the badger skin. All the vessels of the tabernacle were covered with a cloth of blue, then a badger skin, other than the table of showbread, which had blue, and then the scarlet, and then the badger skin. If we think about what was represented in that table of showbread, the entire church feeding on the Word of God, the cloth of scarlet symbolizing the ransom. There's only one way, brethren, to understand the Scriptures in the proper light, and that's by understanding it through the sacrifice of Jesus. Circumventing that never gets us access to God. As was mentioned earlier, you know, there's no other name which we can be saved. So that picture of the church feeding on the Word of God by understanding the role of Jesus, an important part to play. Now, the second possibility, and again, I said no real conflict, is one that's suggested by Brother Fry, if you have his notes on the tabernacle. And it is, again, an apt picture. It said that the order of colors was not necessarily directive. In other words, you didn't always put blue, scarlet, or blue, purple, and scarlet. Just merely those three. It was to be instructional and symbolic. And his suggestion was that if you drew a triangle, and think about a triangle like this, and we put at the bottom of that triangle blue and scarlet at the base and purple at the top of that apex of the triangle. Blue and red suggest earthly conditions. Faithfulness in the blue, scarlet in the red, death in the red, in order for us to get the purple. And suggest that this is really the Revelation 2:10 scripture revealed. Be faithful in the blue unto death, the red, and I will give thee a crown of life, the purple. We think that's verified again by Numbers, the 4th chapter, when you had the covering of cloth that went over the burnt offering altar. That color was purple. It was a blending of the blue and the red, pictured by Jesus. Jesus was faithful unto death. God highly exalted him. And brethren, he has given us the same privilege. So let us remember, as we think about the theme text of this week, what is that in thine hand? Is it something for the service of the Lord? As we get ourselves away, that's really what's important. And that's really what the lesson is behind what God has given us in this picture of the blue, the purple, and the scarlet. Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.